from WBRI 1500 in Indianapolis.
The Martin Bender Band Sheridan.
Happy Tuesday, Mr. Zender.
And same to you, my friend.
Same to you. Thank you, and welcome to our affiliates and all the folks listening to us down the line, including Anchorage, Alaska, and Australia, and whoever's online listening to us on the World Wide Web. We greet all of you.
I love technology, man.
As long as it's quiet.
You and quiet.
I got to have the peace. I'm a man of silence.
Listen, yes. I want the lawnmower to be loud.
No.
And smelly. I want to smell that gas and the fresh cut grass. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Yeah.
Well, you, I like the real mowers.
You probably pushed.
I bought one of those things. I bought one. But my wife hated it because it didn't take down the buckhorn, that weed with the thing, the little head on top of it.
Yeah.
I'd be going along there. That thing started every time, Dan. That mower started every time. All you do is push the stupid thing. No oil, no gas. I'm not a green freak, but I just like the idea I didn't have to pull that stupid pull start all the time.
That's because you couldn't pull it. You weren't tough enough.
Well, you know, I'm not saying anything about that.
Right.
So
go down. While you go down and do some push-ups to gain a little manliness, I want to read something that I just read. This is from A.E. Nock in The Unsearchable Riches. You've read that a few times, haven't you?
Yeah.
All right. And this is a quote from him, and this is fantastic. And I actually copied this page, cut out the quote, and I put it right in the first page of Romans in my Bible. If you ever meet me, ask me to see this. This little.
If I ever meet you, that's it right there.
That's it right here.
Can I see it?
All right. You see it right here?
Yes. That's not your handwriting, is it?
Yeah.
It's like seven point type.
Yeah.
How do you read it?
With my eyes.
Will somebody give Dan a magnifying glass?
Okay. All right. Here we go. And this is what A.E. Nock says. He says, "Oh, that we knew the sufficiency of Christ for everything. We are so anxious to pry men into the kingdom in quotes, that we invent various crowbars to get them in, all the while ignoring the great truth that the gospel is God's power for salvation," Romans 1:16. "We preach on all sorts of topics, from sanitation to sanctification, ever tinkering with man himself, when the gospel is concerning his son," Romans 1:3. "In a word, we are trying to bring men to Christ when he would have us bring Christ to men." Isn't that a great quote?
Beautiful.
I ain't done with it. You want me to read some more?
Please.
"How grand it is to fall back upon God himself. He will see to it that everyone whom he has selected will be invited and justified and sanctified. And he does it in spite of all the stumbling blocks we put in the sinner's way. Some preach law outright, some regeneration, some the Spirit's work, some baptism, some repentance. But none of these are good news. Indeed, there is no good news apart from Christ. Let it be our precious privilege to preach Christ crucified to those who know him not, and to those who know him, Christ glorified. Let Christ be first and Christ be last and Christ fill all between. Let us not look back and vaunt ourselves with, 'I prayed, I repented, I was baptized, I, you know, everything about me.' But let us rather shout with the apostle, 'No longer I, but Christ. If I had a hand in my salvation, it must needs contain a flaw, for I find failure fills everything I do. But if Christ alone deserves the crown, then all like him is perfect and immutable."
That's a brave man and an honest man who could say that everything I do is fraught with failure.
Isn't that a great statement? And I like the phrase here that we preach on all sorts of topics, from sanitation to sanctification, when the gospel is concerning himself. What do you think he means by that?
Well, we preach to save the world, to clean up the world for Christ, and to clean up ourselves, make it humanly presentable for Jesus, so that he can come back and see that we're doing a great job.
Yeah. That's not the gospel, is it?
No.
No.
He's not coming back to congratulate us. He's coming back to, you know, show us what he can do. apart from us. But the whole purpose of the eons is to give man a field for a demonstration of his failure.
What's an eon?
Oh boy, an eon is a long period of time. For instance, I haven't.
My Bible says eternity and forever and ever. What's this eon?
What the heck?
Stuff?
What bad translation are you reading?
All of them.
Eternity? No, an eon is a long period of time. And since you brought it up,
yes,
one of the most vital words to understand, and if you're going to understand God's plan, is eon. I tell this to people. The first thing I say is this word appears over 175 times in the Greek scriptures, otherwise known as the New Testament.
Give me a minute while I look every reference up.
Yeah,
right?
You get on that, okay. And I'll talk to the folks. You see, people say, where is it? I don't see it. But you have to understand the Bible wasn't written in anglais. No, I know.
What do you mean? God didn't write the Bible in English?
No, and Jesus...
What, are you a communist?
I hate to tell you this too, Dan, but...
Are you anti-American?
I hate to tell you what I'm about to tell you. Jesus didn't speak English either.
I don't believe
it. No, he
never
said eternity.
He didn't say I pledge of allegiance either.
Well, no, that's in Hebrews. That was
okay.
Later. But right. He never said eternity. He never said hell. He never spoke English. And so what that makes our work a little bit harder, doesn't it? Because we read in English and we have to understand that behind every English word, there is a Greek word or a Hebrew word. And now you're talking about a lot of work. Most people just don't want to work that hard. They just want to read the Bible. I read it for 15 minutes. I'm good to go. Not realizing that there are tools available. I'm no expert in Greek or Hebrew. But there are tools that I can use. There are experts who have put tools in our hands that we can go to and find out, whoa, yeah, that word that's translated eternity in the King James Bible or the New American Standard, whoa, that's the Greek word ion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's used in this verse to speak of a period of time. How can it mean eternity? Things like that.
Let's bring this back into perspective. And let me just say, for those of you listening, that eternity never comes into the story. God has not burdened our mind with the thought of eternity. If eternity means anything, it means something that doesn't have a beginning and something doesn't have an end. And if you can understand that, you're a better man than I am.
I can understand
But there is no... Eternity is not mentioned in the Scripture. God has given us the eons, or some... the Young's Literal, I believe, says ages.
When I talk about this topic at a conference, the first question I'll ask the audience is, raise your hand if you think eternity is a long time. And almost everybody raises their hands. I said, okay, raise your hand if you think eternity goes on and on and on and on. Everybody raises their hands. I said, wrong. You people are wrong on all counts. Eternity is not a long time because it has nothing to do with time. It's the antithesis of time.
Yeah.
And it doesn't go on and on and on because on and on and on is a time phrase. And so when you tell them this, it blows their minds and they sit there, they're dumbstruck and their jaws are open and you realize then, oh, my gosh, we don't know anything about eternity. We can't wrap our minds around it.
And God never burdens our mind with it. There's a passage in Ephesians 3 which is very important. I'm reading from the Concordant Literal New Testament. And Paul says this, "To me, less than the least of all saints, was granted this grace to bring the evangel of the untraceable riches of Christ to the nations, and to enlighten all as to what is the administration of the secret which has been concealed from the eons in God, who creates all, that now may be made known to the sovereignties and the authorities among the celestials through the ecclesia, the multifarious wisdom of God in accord with the purpose of the eons." God has a purpose, and it's a purpose of the eons. It's not talking about eternity to the Scripture. It's talking about a time period called the eons. And it does not extend outside the eons. And we'll probably get into this in some of these programs, but we know about the Bible is in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. 1 Corinthians 15, then comes the end, or the consummation is reached in the beginning. So in the Bible, we see the beginning and creation, then we see the consummation at the end when Christ abolishes death. Everything in between is the eons.
I like to think of it as a light bulb.
Okay, go ahead.
Can I think of it as a light bulb? That you weren't simple there. I mean, yeah, but I like to think of it as a light bulb where you have the filament. The visible light comes from that tiny little jig-jaggy piece of tungsten in there called the filament. That's what gives you the light. You have invisible energy coming in. You have invisible energy going out. And the only visible energy is manifested by that tiny filament. Now, think of that filament as the scriptures. God is eternal in the past. We just talked about how we had no concept of what eternity is. He's eternal in the future. And this little puff of light, this little tungsten filament, is the whole scriptures. It's a revelation of God in the visible world, in the time world. So if you think of the eons as a frame, as a matting, as a scaffold that God uses to hang his revelation upon. And that's the light, that little tiny, we think we're seeing everything. We think we're so capable of absorbing God that he's giving us the whole picture.
Yeah.
And we can get it. Yes, we understand what eternity is. Folks, we have no idea. This word from Genesis to Revelation is the little filament in the light bulb. And it's a revelation of God through his son, Jesus Christ. But even that is somewhat of an abstract thing. It's not revealed to us except by word and through time. As we go, you and I trudge through this life day at a time, day after day after day. It seems like it's never going to end. But in those daily grinds that we go through, that's where God teaches us everything. And again, time is an actual, this is the way I look at it, correct me if I'm wrong, as I know you will. I think time is an invention.
Yes.
It was invented. It didn't exist before God invented it. And in fact, we have a verse from Hebrews.
There is scripture, and I was just going to turn said, to Hebrews.
And we know, listen to this, we know who invented time, and we know when it happened. Time did not always exist, ladies and gentlemen, just like there was not always a filament in that light bulb. God invented time in order for creatures who depend on time to begin to understand who he is. You're going to go to Hebrews chapter 1.
By many portions and many modes of old God, speaking to the fathers and the prophets, in the last of these days speaks to us in Son, whom he appoints enjoyer of the allotment of all, through whom he also makes the eons.
What a simple... That is a direct statement. Anybody, he makes the eons.
He makes it.
He made time.
So God has an aeonian purpose. There are things that are going on that God is doing within the frame of the eons.
And if it has to do with eons, then it's aeonian. Don't trip over this word, folks. And again, you think, well, where are you guys coming up with this aeonian? Never heard of that. It's in the scriptures over 175 times, but it has been obscured by the translations. If you go to a concordance, you'll see it. Aeonian describes eons. It's an adjective, like daily and day.
So let me ask you this. And we'll probably have to finish this thought tomorrow. But
possibly.
When a preacher says, where will you spend eternity?
Oh, that's a loaded question. I see that on church signs. I hear that from preachers.
Did anybody in the scriptures ever ask the question, where you spend
eternity? No.
Let's get into that tomorrow.
The issue was never, where are you going to spend eternity?
All right. Tomorrow we'll talk a little bit about the eons. My name is Dan Sheridan, paulsevangel.com.
I'm Martin Zender. I can't remember my website. There's too much pressure. What is it again?
MartinZender.com.
Oh, thanks. Okay. We'll be back tomorrow, folks. Thanks for listening.